AIM Fuse is right around the corner. This year, Fuse is a premium interactive experience featuring live streams of industry-leading speakers, an exhibit hall where you can connect with AIM sponsors and partners, and also real-time networking with other attendees on the virtual platform. So make sure you do head over to aimgroup.com and get your tickets. Hey, welcome to Broker to Broker. This podcast is all about real talk from one broker to another. Each week, we'll be talking with an AIM member about their journey into the broker channel, their challenges, and unique insights. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Welcome to Broker podcast, brought to you by AIM, Association of Independent Mortgage Experts. And we are back. It's been about six months, and our guest today is Prez himself, AIM President Mark Summers. What's up, man?
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
I love these podcasts.
I have to say, we have, you love them, right? We have our smelling salts, if we can see them, that we both had to hit before this, because we're not busy at all right now.
No one's sleeping.
And you flew in, you were up at 4:30 this morning.
Yes, sir.
Kind of missed your flight, had to walk 2 miles to the other flight.
Pretty much.
And now you're here.
I made it. Doesn't matter. Yeah. No one cares anyways.
No, nobody cares. Nobody cares. You're here. So thanks for coming out. I only had a 6 mile, 7 mile drive, so I'm kind of good. But you know how busy it is. But we were talking a lot before the show. Life is busy. It's chaotic. But it's fun, right? I mean, when have we seen a refi boom? It's been 10 years.
Oh, easily. Really? Easily. And it's insane what's going on right now.
Yeah. Yeah, like we were saying, I know, and we'll talk about the company and your team a little bit later, but like you said, you're offloading some stuff because you have to.
Yeah.
And I'm doing the same, and I'm kind of following what you've done and other people in the industry. You have to start delegating. But we can talk about that all later. But I know a lot about you. My story with you is when I was going to start my own shop, first person I called was Anthony, and he delegated. He's a master delegator, right? To you, and I still remember where I was sitting having a conversation, and then you told me what to do and who to, and so I give a lot to you for being in the spot I'm in now, so thank you.
No, I appreciate
that.
And
that's no BS, that's legit, and I've talked to you about that before. So.
Good move, right?
Yeah, it was a great move.
Perfect.
I mean,
that's all I care about.
I'll tell you what, I'd much rather be here than back at, you know, the correspondent lenders, not talking down on them, but much better spot we're at right now,
sure.
No doubt. Being the owner and the options that we have. Best spot we could be for a refi boom. Now, everyone's drained in the industry, but I'd rather be drained on this side, on this channel. So I know a little bit about you, but let's talk a little bit about your journey to get you to where you're at today. Because you're an originator still.
Yep.
You're not the owner, right?
I have a business partner.
You have a business partner.
Yep.
And you're the president of AIM.
Yes.
And you're a dad, you're everything. But I want to talk about your journey of when you got into the industry. We do that with everybody, so let's tell everybody how you got here.
I mean, it's not exciting, like, it's not flashy.
No, but I like to know, like, when did you get in? What year?
It was at the end of 2000, and I actually started doing it in the beginning of 2001. Just like I said, nothing too crazy. I was coaching basketball at a local high school, and I had this gentleman approach me, and apparently I was coaching his daughter, didn't even know it. And he says, I like your style, how would you like to work for me?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even ask him what he did. I said, yeah, I need
was
a job.
This right after college?
I was in the middle of college. I played 2 years of college basketball, and then I got into coaching right away. Got swindled into coaching, but I did.
Right.
And then I said, yeah, I'll take a job. And I basically asked him, what do you do? And he's like, mortgages. He's like, I'm a mortgage broker.
So you've always been in mortgages?
Yeah. Well, right? I did a little stint with the Pistons as well.
Okay.
During the collapse, Detroit Pistons, doing some sales.
That's
yeah.
cool.
Yeah. And, I didn't even know what mortgages were. I said, let's
still
try
don't
know how to get push one through though.
Yeah. Right.
But that's just kind of how it started. And you know, back in the good old days of YSP, no one saw mm-hmm. what you made. You just quoted a rate,
mm-hmm.
submit a loan fee worksheet. I mean, that was it.
All right. So you got in, was it always on the broker side?
Yeah.
You've never even seen the other side.
Nope. Never seen retail side. I hear horror stories about the other
yeah.
side. I just love this side of it so much that mm-hmm. I don't even want to see if the grass is greener on the other side, because from everything I hear, it's not. And what we do here, I absolutely love and wouldn't change it for the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I've always said I started at the big bank, and then I kept chopping down. I started at Wells Fargo. It was a good spot to learn the business because I had no idea. I didn't have the best mentor, maybe like you did. And then you start going to smaller lenders, and it just always kind of carried me to this, to what exactly what I should be. So I'll never go back. Like, I keep saying this is the last time. This is it. If this doesn't work, I'm out of the industry.
Right.
You know, and that's me just talking because of how chaotic it is now. Anyway, but okay, so you've always been in this channel.
Mm-hmm.
How many shops have you worked for?
One.
Just one. Just this one. Is it.
Yeah, Advantage Mortgage. That's it.
Wow.
It's the only one.
That might be a first. We have nothing else to talk about. All right, see you guys.
It's a small town. The people I work with, my team that I have are amazing. They're some of my closest friends to this day. So it's, I mean, I know I'm blessed. I know I got it good. So why?
Yeah,
try?
Why? I mean, why even change it?
It's great.
Yeah. So when did you become? Take us through the journey there, because you're a managing partner now.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So you started as an LO, you weren't a processor or anything like that.
Well,
you just jumped in.
Back in the day, you didn't have to be an LO. You know what I mean? Like, you didn't. There was no testing.
Yeah, you just jumped right in.
You sign an application. You're good to go. Mm-hmm. And that part of the industry was a little messed up at the time, but it is what it is. And I just touched on every facet of the business during that time. I was just hungry to learn all about it, the closing side, the processing side, mm-hmm. the originating side. And then it just happened. I mean, and, you know, to this day, you know, with what I'm doing now, you know, we have about 5 or 6 originators with us, and they're all self-sufficient, mm-hmm. which is nice. And what I always try to do at this stage of our company is just try to make them more efficient and try to help them in any way I can mm-hmm. while I'm still running my own business. I feel that's where it's best fit for mm-hmm. us. And the one thing that I always say about our industry is, and I say it in all the speeches I do, everything, presentations, is there's 5,000 different ways to do mm-hmm. this right. Mm-hmm. That's the beautiful thing about it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's wrong ways to do it, and we know what those are. But, you know, for my company and what we do, it fits. We're all self-sufficient. I try to help them out, technology side of it. You know, anything that I can do to help is my role.
Yeah, so if you were a brand-new LO coming to your company,
mm-hmm.
now are you looking for LOs right now, or are you guys pretty good?
I'm
I mean,
good
right now in this.
I mean, with the refi boom right now, with AIM, with everything else I do, mm-hmm. trying to balance everything, I personally right now just can't take on anyone else.
Yeah, but every, like you said, there's a billion different ways to do it. Mm-hmm. Like, we're a smaller type brokerage, right? And only if, you know, the perfect person came along, we'd take someone on. And there's shops out there that are just trying to just throw asses in chairs, which is fine, right?
Right?
That's just a different model.
Right.
But to go back, like, if you were getting into this industry now, forget about how chaotic
it
is, right? You're getting in, like, what would you tell a new LO? Is it, like, start from the bottom, process all your own files? Like, what would you tell someone getting in at this point?
I would personally try to tell them, you know, try to go in that LOA side of things, mm-hmm. you know, where mm-hmm. it's kind of like a hybrid is the way I look at it. And, you know, try to process a few loans, try to understand it, because the more you understand, the better you're going to be. Mm-hmm. Now, do I do my own closings per se? No, I don't, but I know how.
Yeah, right.
Do
right,
I process
right.
my own loans? No, but I know how.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
So you can kind of guide those people along. And I look at it this way. There's some originators that I've spoke to that rely so heavily on their team, which is great. That means they have a good team. But if God forbid something happens to them, does their business stop?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's my biggest fear about everything with everyone, even
yeah,
with
same.
This association. Is okay, how do you take the next step if there's a kink in the wheel?
Yeah, and that's the toughest part for LOs that are growing, is how to get out of the way sometimes, but you still have to know the process, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing I'm kind of struggling with. Now we're growing, we have a processor now, we're looking at hiring another admin. My brother Nikki's really stepping up, bringing some business in, but I have to get out of the way a little bit with the volume. And that's the toughest thing, but you still need to know, because someone leaves, like in this industry, people can get up and go. Like, what are you going to do?
Right.
Right? Like, over the years, like, how did you learn to delegate better or get out of your own way?
AIM helped me a lot.
AIM, okay. Oh, by the way, AIM just put up a LOA.
An LOA, yeah.
Description, right? And a processor description. I screenshot, I sent to Nikki. I'm like, yo, look at this. And actually, I think we're doing a pretty good job. But so AIM helped you a lot, right?
Yeah, I mean, AIM helped me just because, you know, there's a lot of time to be spent with this, so I was forced to delegate. Before, I didn't.
That's a good point. If you take on more, you're kind of forced to do it anyway.
Yeah, so that's why I always take on what I can, for the most part. You know, as long as I know I can do a good job with it, I take on as much as I can because it forces me to delegate and give people new opportunities. And, you know, so someone who was writing only 10 deals a month, well, now I'm giving them 14 a month, you know, whatever the case may be. It's making them better, so that's all I care about.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Everyone talks about delegation and how to do that, but they're only looking at the business side, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you just take more on with your in your life, which brings you more business, you're a local guy like myself, like that's we're all just referral based from the local people. Just doing more things allows you to live life, and that forces you to delegate. That makes sense. Now that I'm coaching travel ball, like I'm telling you,
we both are coaching travel ball. We're both coaching, right?
We're both, but I'm the manager, and you're an assistant.
Yes.
So
that's okay. I'll always be the assistant.
Yeah, it's all right. Well, yeah, it's a lot, but it is forcing me. This is like real talk right now coming to me. It's forcing Nikki to step up more. It's forcing Ellie, our new processor, to step up more, and it's just allowing me to do it. So I'm not in my own head as much. I'm just allowing it to happen. So I think sometimes you just have to allow it to happen. Don't overthink it.
Absolutely.
Right?
I agree.
You agree with that?
100%. Yeah, I mean, with coaching and stuff, I mean, have you got any deals from coaching?
Oh, yeah.
I have, too.
I think we have a couple.
Technically, you're doing your job because you're helping out consumers, and that's what we're all about.
Yeah. All right. So let me ask you this one then, too. So when you're dealing with people you know in this industry, which can have a lot of twists and turns, I actually wrote up just a friends and family disclosure saying – some people won't take on friends and family. We want to because we don't think you're better off somewhere else. And things could go wrong, but that's why you should use us because we have your back. But some people don't deal with friends and family or local because they're scared of what could happen, right? So, you take it all on because you trust yourself and your team. But some people don't, right? So, have you ever had that anxiety of, hey, this is a good friend? Could get twisty, you know, what's going to happen?
No, I don't, because it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't put you in the situation, and I'm glad you're trusting me with your personal information, and you trust me.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give you my honest opinion, and that's it. That's all we can do. So it's keep it simple. Yeah. I'm a keep it simple guy. I'm not a miracle worker.
Okay.
You know, but, hey, you trust me. And the one thing that I will say that I think is big, that I think has resonated in my community with all of this, is I can't tell you how many people have gone up to my wife and said, oh, my God, you know, Mark did a great job for us.
Mm-hmm.
And she has no idea what they're talking about. She didn't even know. So that goes a long way, because they're sitting there asking her, like, you didn't know he was, you know, doing our refinance?
Yeah, and same goes, thing.
I have no idea. He doesn't talk to me about that stuff.
Yeah.
So that has gone a long way, because now people feel confident and trustworthy.
That's a really good point. That's the other thing we kind of put in the disclosure. Like, we aren't going to talk about your information to anybody else. Like, that's very, very important. And we get the same thing with my wife's like, you were working with them? And I'm like, yeah, but we don't discuss that.
No.
And that's a big thing when we get to our work-life balance that we don't really have right now.
I don't want to talk about mortgages when I get home.
No, you don't want to get home and start talking mortgages, right? I mean, you want to spend time with the family, and that's big for how you present yourself and allow you to be in your local community. It is really cool. I mean, it sounds like we run our business the same type of way. It's just doing the right thing, keeping it simple, and it just comes back to you. Like we're seeing now with this refi boom, everyone's just coming out of the woodworks, and they trust you.
Mm-hmm.
If you keep it simple, you tell them how it is, most times they're going to go with you.
Be simple, be honest. It's the rest takes care of itself.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm a simple person.
Yeah. No, you have to be in this complicated industry, no doubt. So I'm going to actually read a question then of here. First time I've ever done this. What is your business philosophy?
I knew you were going to ask that one. I think I just said it. I mean, I don't know. I'm not a complicated person. I try to do my best. I'm honest, and I keep it simple. I mean, that's it. And I try to give everyone the best deal that I possibly can within reason. And I know if I work hard for them, they'll see it, and then I get referrals. And then it's a
pretty
cycle.
Simple.
Yeah.
It just flows. You get in this flow state of just doing the right thing, and people just seem to come back to you.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, I'm sorry. I've said it a million times, and my wife has said it. I'm simple. She says, this is what I do. This is how I do it. I'm going to look for ways to get better. But at the end of the day, I'm not going to try to reinvent the wheel. I'm not going to complicate things too much here. I don't know. That's
simple. Perfect. So if we're going to dive into, let's make it a little bit complex then, right? So let's talk about your team. And you can name names if you want. But how is your structure right now from when a lead comes in to how's that process flow go?
So my business strategy, we don't have a lot of leads coming in per se of, you know, cold leads or people that we never spoke to.
Right, but when a lead, just, you know, anybody, a referral pops in.
It goes directly to our guys. So okay. That's what I was saying, like, with our business, I'm blessed with this, is I'm not technically managing people, you know, because they manage themselves. We try to make sure they're within our guidelines and our processes and our philosophies our beliefs. But other than that, you know, everyone kind of generates their own leads. And so I look each week and say, wow, you know, Scott has 15 deals going on. Good for him. Dan has 22. Wow. Good for him. That's it. And I just make sure they track where their leads come from. So we can always go back to them. That's it. I mean, we do some partner stuff together.
Okay.
And then we just kind of do it as a round robin. You take this one, I got this one. No one's complaining about money right now. So
yeah, right.
I always tell my guys, listen, yeah, you may have got a $400,000 loan. I may have got a $150,000 loan, but let's get as many loans in the door as possible and then talk about the money later.
Right, because there'll
be enough there that we don't have to discuss it.
Yeah, so if someone on your baseball team parent, like, they text you, I want to refinance. Like, where does it start with you? Does that go in to the whole team?
No.
Okay.
That just goes to me.
Just goes to you. Mm-hmm. Okay, so once it goes to you, I'm trying to go fairly deep here of how you run your business from the LO side. You get the lead, then what happens?
Go through the application myself, kind of quote it, pull credit.
Are you verbally doing it, or is it?
No, I make everyone go online.
Okay. That's what I'm getting at, to try and figure out how you actually do business.
No, because I look at it this way. If they're really interested in getting a mortgage done, to go online and fill out a 5 to 10 minute application, it's not that difficult. Mm. There's a lot of good systems out there that you can use to do that. So they fill it out, it pops up, you know, I get a notification, let's rock and roll with them. Let's get their credit. Let's quote them out, see where they're at. One of the big things I always explain to people is making sure they know their options. You know, there's so many different programs out there right now, and all of our lender partners are doing these, you know, little niches that people don't know about. And, you know, just the fact of being able to sell, you know, a 22-year loan, it blows people's mind, you know, and it makes them feel more in charge of their mortgage. That's what I tell every single person that comes through. This is your mortgage. You do with it what you want. Yeah. I'm going to tell you the guidelines. You pick from there.
Yeah, I think some LOs will get in trouble by, I don't want to say talking too much, but they kind of talk themselves into more work. And the client just wants it simple as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't care about the back end. Like the whole 50 bip thing that came out last week from Fannie Freddie, right? I mean, even I posted on it a bit to give people some knowledge, but everyone was posting about it, and I've seen people say, your client doesn't care about that. They just don't care. They literally just want to get through this, save some money, buy a new house, whatever it is. They're looking at that house that they're buying. They're not looking at the mortgage. No one wants the mortgage,
right?
So keeping it simple and not over-talking, right?
Yeah.
Is better for the client as well. Some people go too deep, and I've been that guy as well, and it spins out of control. So I would think, if anything you're going to get from Mark right here, is just keep it simple.
Yeah, I mean, you want to be their advisor on this stuff, but when it comes to mortgages, the one thing I've learned real fast and is that there's different philosophies on this. You know, I'll talk to one financial advisor in my area, and he says, I'm always going to have a mortgage, no matter what. And you talk to someone else, and no, it's debt. You don't want debt, so... I just tell everyone, hey, listen, it's your financial belief. You do what you want with it, but these are your options.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm here to, you know, help you with any of those options.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So.
So then I get the file in, right?
Okay. Like, yeah. Let's go through that.
I quote that out. You know what I mean? And I basically I use a third-party processor, but she's a close friend of mine.
Okay.
And I basically give it to her from there and say, this is what we're going with. This is the lender we're going with. This is the comp that we're going with. Go. Have fun. Let me know. And then CC me on every email correspondence.
So they'll disclose and do everything there.
Well, they'll send it back to me so I make sure that disclosures look right.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Because I do that part because legally I have to.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But then they'll hit the send button for the most part. I review everything. They send it out. And then she submits it, gathers conditions. I know exactly what's going on in every file.
Yep.
That's it.
Do you guys have like weekly meetings just to get you up to date on certain clients so you know what's going on?
No.
Nothing?
No. I mean, we will. I mean, I'll call her.
Just to check up on something?
For the most part, no. I mean, we have a good rapport with each other. We know exactly what's going on. You know, we use our LOS for notes and everything. And that's one thing I preach in one of our weekly sales meetings is, hey, if she talks to a client, I talk to a client, text message, we're documenting it. So we know
everything.
Copy and paste it.
What LOS are you guys using?
I've been using Arrive.
Okay.
Yeah. It's easy for me.
Yeah. We're in LendingPad right now. I do want to switch over to Arrive at some point. Mm-hmm. Obviously now is not the best time to jump through it.
No.
So Arrive is great for LendingPad's good. I don't know if you ever dove into LendingPad at all, but they have a good note section as well. We try to do that, but we have to be more diligent with that. So like you're saying, everything's communicated. So you're very simple and systematic, but you're also, I would say, reactionary on certain files has to be.
You have to be.
Yeah, a lot of people are like, oh, everyone wants a perfect system. It's not going to be perfect. Control what you can, and then you have to fall into the fact that you're going to have to be reactionary at some point. Like, you just got a call right there. That could be something. You might be thinking, like, what was that number? Was that them calling?
It was actually our lobbyist.
Oh, okay. There you go. Was it?
Yeah.
No, nice. All right. So you agree with the fact that keep your systems with what you can control, mm-hmm. but then understand you're going to have to be reactionary at some point in this business. It's not a perfect world.
You have to be. I mean, and just like we talked about, we're coaches. I'm a high school basketball mm-hmm. coach. And there's things that go right and you let it go. There's other things you have to step in on.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you step in on.
Yeah, no doubt. So, all right. So you're coaching baseball. Assistant, you head coach basketball though.
I'm a varsity head coach.
Okay, varsity head coach.
Yep.
And then you're also the president of AIM.
Yep.
And you're doing some things at UWM as well, right?
I do. I do a presentation of Success Track.
Right.
For
right.
them, so you know, we can promote AIM.
Well, you're so close, right? Miles will be
well,
up there.
Right now, we just do it all video.
Right. 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 So you're doing a ton of coaching right now.
Not baseball so much because I'm just kind of more the psychologist of the team.
Okay. Oh, there you go.
But for basketball is when it really steps up.
All right. So how can we relate sports to the mortgage industry? I mean, there's a lot there.
I just did as well. You know what I mean? You try to keep a system. If mm-hmm. something goes a little sideways, your job is there to step in. If the system's not working, it's your job to change the system.
Okay.
I mean, that's it.
Yeah, so I'm thinking now with baseball tonight, I'm trying to relate it. All right, the pitcher, you know, he just walked three guys. Now we have to react. I had him going this full inning, but now I got to react. I got to pull him in. Same with a foul. Something goes off the rails. All right, we got to jump back in. Now we have to fix it. Just is what it is. So, again, it's keeping it simple.
Man, after one walk, you pull him? Jeez.
Oh, I mean.
High expectations over there.
If he didn't ice his arm the night before, they're nine-year-olds. You know, you're looking at innings. I got to write a lineup now. They're on me.
Good.
I got a couple kids out, but that's a whole nother story. Okay, so let's talk about transitioning. I mean, you were never retail, but you helped me transition, right? So if you're retail right now and you're thinking about, I actually got a text from retail the other day, like, oh, they're making all this money. And I'm like, hey, that's gross, but there's expenses. So I'm explaining that to them. If you're an LO that's killing it right now and you're like, I want to jump over to the broker side,
mm-hmm.
right? What's the first step you're going to do? And do you recommend starting your own shop right off the bat? What's your idea there?
Depends on who mm-hmm. I speak with. You, yes, that was a no-brainer.
Right.
I mean, you had that already in your head, ready mm-hmm. to roll. I speak to people all the time, you know, that want to make the transition. And one of the things I always do is I always ask as many questions as possible so you can really get a feel. I don't ever want anyone to come back to me and say, Mark told me to do this, and, mm-hmm. I fell flat on my face. Mm-hmm. So I ask a ton of questions, and then I say, listen, you know, from my experience, I think you need to go this way. And I've referred people to different shops. You know, I've referred people to start their own shop. It depends for each person.
Okay.
You know, so I just take it all in. You kind of see some people who are like go-getters and they're ready to roll, and you mm-hmm. see other people that kind of want their hand held, so maybe they're not ready yet. Each situation is different.
Okay.
But the one thing I always say is the moment that someone calls me and says, hey, why should I go?
Okay.
The first thing I say all the time is freedom. I mean, you control your own destiny. I'm a big believer in this. I'm mm-hmm. not blowing smoke up anyone's rear end.
No.
Hey, if you want to go get it, go get it. This is the best way to do it. period, and to have the freedom, you know, like I went into my local bank the other day and the guy says, hey, do you want me to quote your mortgage? And I started laughing. I'm like, no, that's what I do. He's like, you're not going to beat me. Don't worry. And I just sat there and looked at him and said, man, that guy is going to sit at his desk from 8:30 to 5 every day, Monday through Friday. Whereas then I can get up at 5 in the morning, 4 in the morning, go through my files. My kid's got a game at 4 and I can go.
Mm-hmm.
It's freedom. I mean, that's what it's about. We're all willing to work hard, mm-hmm. but I want to work hard on my own terms.
Yeah, that's awesome. So that's the big question. Everyone's different, whether they should go as an LO to get their feet wet or to start their own shop. But the big question is, how do you like to live? Some people like the 9-to-5, I guess. They just want to be regimented like that. Mm-hmm. But you're a big proponent of freedom, and that's what this side can give you.
Yeah.
I mean, being an LO on the retail side, you could do that as well a bit. But there's a lot of stuff that comes with right. that. Being your own owner or an LO at a smaller type brokerage, it just gives you that freedom, especially how you guys are set up. Because it sounds like you have your systems, but it's pretty lax. You do what you want to do and do your job. You know, they're pretty self-sufficient, like you said.
Yep.
That's cool. That's
very
cool.
Really transparent. I got a great team. They're phenomenal. Never worry about them. They are a little bit older, so I always worry about them technology-wise.
Right.
But I'm always there for them.
So everyone's on Arrive then, right?
Yeah.
When did you transition to that? From what? Who?
Calix. Calix. Oh, my God. God, when did I transition to Arrive?
I mean, it had to have been...
A year ago?
Yeah, I was going to say
probably
like
a year ago.
A year or so. Mm-hmm. Okay. And Arrive they've upgraded too, right?
They have upgraded.
And it's been much better? I mean, what's the truth?
So the old Arrive worked for me and what I did.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I didn't want all the bells and whistles that it has now. And I'm still not even using the bells and whistles that it has mm-hmm. now with the upgrade. I mean, I'm simple.
They're simple.
I'm
right.
simple. Oh, my God, it can price it out for me. Great. That's all I need. Mm-hmm. You know, the rest, I always disclose through my lender anyways.
Right. Because
you're going to have to disclose to them anyways. Mm-hmm. So just disclose through the lender.
Right.
Pull credit through it. Yeah, great. That's all I need. I don't need a ton.
Not much.
It takes notes for me. I'm good.
Yeah. Okay. So you were Calix, like you said.
Terrible.
Went to Arrive. But how was that transition? Do you remember a year ago? Was it rough?
No, I mean, so one of the things that we're going to talk about or that, you know, we've talked about in our weekly sales meeting is adapting,
mm-hmm.
right? And I looked at it as a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're trying to tell me here is I just looked at the benefit of it. Of I don't have to be on my server to work on loans. Great. Sign me up. That's how simple it was for me to transition.
Okay.
And then I said, I'm going to figure it out from here. It wasn't that hard.
So make the decision and then go all in with it.
Yeah.
Don't have one foot in, one foot out if you're going to make a change.
Yep.
That's big. Okay. Yeah, that's it.
I'm sorry. You're going to get simple answers from
me. I know. I'm trying to pull it from you. I needed more of the smelling. You want some more of this?
No, I'm good.
No, you're good? Okay. All right, so let's transition away from that.
So
no, let's
I'm
listen.
Simple just for the mere fact of you know, and I love all of our members. I love mm-hmm. everyone, you know, but I get some of these calls sometimes, and my heart goes out to them because they're so stressed out, and they're so passionate about what they do, but just keep it simple. You know, like, don't complicate things so much. I mean, mm-hmm. mortgages are already not sexy,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean, and you're not going to make them. So keep it simple. Move forward. Don't try to complicate things too much. And the other thing I always say is, you know, please, please, please under promise and over deliver.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that on the last sales meeting, I believe. Yep.
Then you don't have the weight of the world on your shoulders.
Yeah. People really think they have to sell something all the time, quote unquote, sell something.
Mm-hmm.
Just be truthful with the client and be like, hey, I'm going to tell you this. I'm really hoping it does come in better because that's what we try to promote. And usually it does, right?
No one ever has a problem with that.
Nothing.
They always have a problem if you say, hey, I'm mm-hmm. going to close you in 15 days and it takes 21.
Right.
22, 23. It's still a good job, but mm-hmm. we set these expectations up mm-hmm. in the beginning that you're bound to fail. And guess what? If you close in 15 days, did they care?
No. Again,
no, they didn't
care. Don't really care. I think we do. Is this going to sound bad? Put the client up on the pedestal. I mean, obviously you want to do yeah. the right thing and you want to do a great job, but we put them up here like they're going to judge us for everything that we do and everything we can't control. And we can't control it all. So like you're saying, you're going to pull credit, you're going to be truthful, you're going to work up a plan, and then let the process just unfold how it should because you can't control every piece of it.
Right. Now, I take each piece and always try to get better at it.
Sure, of course.
I'm not going to overcomplicate things.
No, not at all. Okay, so do you have an LOA?
No.
All right, so
I personally don't.
You personally don't?
My third-party processor basically acts as my LOA.
Okay, and processor. Mm-hmm. So that's like my brother Nikki to me. LOA, and we have a processor now, but he kind of is overseeing it. He's getting some bips off of everything. So that's what he does. Okay, that makes total sense. Mm-hmm. But for other people's models, it could make sense if they're trying to do a lot more volume and they have a good system. So again, there's a billion different ways to cut this up.
Oh yeah. And the first speech I ever gave at an AIM conference in Irvine, California. And what year was that? 2018. Jeez. In 2018, I said, you know, the one thing, when I hear independent, I hear, you know, you're able to be flexible. You're able to be creative. You know what I mean? So that's what I love about this industry is, an LOA doesn't work for me,
mm-hmm.
but it could work for you, and mm-hmm. that's great. If you're happy with it and your business
well, that's
is great,
the freedom on this side.
Yep, move
because,
along.
Because you're right. So on the, and it's not everyone, we all understand that, on the retail side. Because I'm going to backtrack a bit. I said, okay, an LO from on the retail side can have freedom, which they can, but a lot of times they're forced into the systems of that lender.
Mm-hmm.
So again, let's break it up. So on the broker side, you can really create what you want to create. And this is getting my mind going because of the things that we've done over the past almost 2 years that we've owned our brokerage. Every week we're adding a new system, a new template that's really going to cater to the client because things are always changing. So again, on this side, it does give you freedom to be who you want to be. Like we have this, you know, pretty cool logo that we've had for a while. And we just be who we are. You know, we're doing this donation type thing, which is turned into something really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, this Thursday, tomorrow, you're not going to be here.
I'm not gonna
be here. Come to Conchie and get free pulled pork sandwiches from my buddy Burley Dove. But yeah, it allows you to do that. And the risk is on you, but it's your risk.
Right.
So if you're with retail, I might not be able to do those type of things, even though it's a great thing we're doing. Maybe I couldn't because of legalities, whatever it is. So it gives you the freedom to be who you want to be.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a person who
it's a lifestyle channel,
right? Yeah. And it's a personality mm-hmm. thing as well. I love talking to people, so I call my clients all the time. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I love talking to them. Now I take notes on it, and I know other people that are system placed, and you know I'm going to send this email and send it this way with this template and whatever. That's fine. Mm-hmm. If that's you, that's fine.
Yeah,
I don't care.
Yeah,
just treat the consumer right. That's all I care about.
That's all that really matters. It really does. Now, how many lenders are you using right now? You don't have to say who, but are you keeping it pretty, well, simple? I mean, that's the theme of this podcast.
I think, you know, what we do in our shop is you'll always have that one-off loan, and we try to help everyone as mm-hmm. much as possible. So we'll have to go get signed up with XYZ lender, and I'm mm-hmm. not going to name any lenders today.
No, that's fine.
You know, you go get signed up with XYZ lender just for that one, maybe two loans.
Mm-hmm.
And I think last time I checked, we had 15 lenders that were signed up with. But I would say with my guys, we probably use three.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's where we're at. We're probably in that 3 to 4 range.
Yeah.
With your go-to two,
yeah.
really.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's, again, I mean, pricing's generally, especially now, generally the same wherever you're at. And like we all know, you can't time it perfectly. It's changing all the time. So you really want to work with the lenders that are going back to the consumer, that's going to treat the consumer the best way and get them done a reasonable amount of time with not showing them. Again, we're trying to shield them from the complexities of the industry, not showing them too much of the dirt behind the scenes. Because we all know some lenders is taking longer and they're re-asking for certain conditions, mm-hmm. things expire. I mean, that's going to PO a lot of people at some point. You want a good experience.
You do.
It's experience over money for the client.
I agree.
Right?
I agree. Because no matter what, you're putting them in a better situation.
Exactly.
They're not just doing this to put themselves in a worse situation.
Mm-mm. No, no, no.
So you're putting them in a better situation or getting them into the home that they want.
Mm-hmm.
I just always tell them my goal is to make it the best experience I possibly can. Mortgages aren't fun. You're not mm-hmm. going to go and, you know, in 2 years from now and talk about your mortgage and how fun it was. So let me try to make it as fun and as easy as mm-hmm. possible. And then anything I can do in the meantime, let me know.
Yeah, it's that simple. Yeah, that's it. All right, we're done. No, okay. I think we have a little bit more time. We have like, what, 10, 15 more minutes, Nicole? All right, cool.
My flight doesn't leave for a while.
All right, good. So let's talk a little bit about again, the work-life balance, especially now. If you could help, I mean, we don't have a down pat, but there are a lot of people out there struggling, right? Yeah. Now, you're keeping it simple. Maybe they get in their head too much. What's something that you could coach them on during this time right now where we're getting hit left and right to still make sure their family is taken care of? What could you talk about on that?
Yeah,
I think that's important to talk about.
You got to be flexible. You got to be flexible. Whatever you have in your head, get it out of your head.
Okay.
I take it day by day. I sit literally the night before. I look at what's going on with my family the next day, you know, what my wife can take care of, what I want to be there for.
Mm-hmm.
It's not do I need to be there. It's do I want to be, you know? I want to be at my kids' games. And I look at the next day and go, okay, I think it's going to take me this amount of time to get things done. So if that means I have to get up at 4 in the morning, I get up at 4 in the morning. That's okay. That's what I have to do. And then I know I can come back home, take care of a few things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have a home office that I spend a lot of time in, you know, and I, even if I'm sitting down watching a baseball game with my kids, I always have my laptop with mm-hmm. me, you know, so I'm working a ton, but at the same time, it's on my schedule. Mm-hmm. It's on my freedom, what I want to do.
Yeah. So, okay. All right. That's cool. So
and no, there's not one client out there that if I say, I'm sorry, something happened, I was at my kid's game. I haven't had one client yet say, my loan's more important than your kid. I haven't had anybody say that. So take it back to reality a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not promoting that
no.
and, just, and using that as an excuse. But, you know, there's times when you're real with your clients, you know, they'll be real right back.
Oh, yeah. I'll still remember when I was just in this industry and I have three kids now, but we had the first one. Oh, sorry. When Trip was born, my oldest, so this is 9 years ago, I had to work from home. My wife worked at Vanguard, so I was at home, and I had that flexibility, right? And the amount of deals I sealed just by saying, just bear with me, I'm going to work these numbers, I'm watching my six-month-old, they're like, oh, that's great, boom. I mean, you actually got more deals by saying that you were at home just working your butt off, trying to provide for your family and do the right thing by them.
You were real.
I was real. I mean, that's simple and real.
People understand that. We mm-hmm. have a pretty, within reason, a pretty understanding society. You know,
yeah.
and we don't, yes, we want to, as you said, put the clients up on a pedestal because mm-hmm. they're our lifeblood. But at the same time, they're people just like you and mm-hmm. I. You know, so treat them like humans and they'll treat you like a human right back.
Yeah, and I'm seeing it more and more. It may have changed over the years. I mean, you've been in it longer than me. But the client is realizing that a lot more, especially during all this COVID stuff. I think people are being a lot more reasonable than yeah. they ever have, which is, I believe, a positive of all this coming out, right? People are starting to see that we're just human beings as well. We're trying our best, and they're willing to work with you. Real team. So I've been doing, I mean, people talk about BombBomb and all the video mm-hmm. stuff. I've been doing, a client texts me, I send over the form, I'll do a quick analysis form, and I just sit there just on my phone, not BombBomb, just an iMessage, and I just give them my face. Works every time. They actually want that right now.
Yeah.
They actually want to see a live person, and it helps. It makes me feel good that I just did that for them, and then, I mean, it's over at that point. They're yeah. like, all right, we trust you.
That was that's the human side of
that's
it.
That's the human
you
side.
Know what I mean?
Yeah. And I'm not dressed tonight. I have a cutoff shirt probably half the time. And sometimes I'll apologize. Like, I apologize. I got a baseball game. They love it.
Yeah.
But that's how it should be because it's just being a real person.
The days of a banker in a suit and tie at all times
yeah.
is gone.
Yeah.
It's gone. People don't even want that anymore for the most part. I mean, for certain things they do. But if I'm looking at a guy all donned up in a suit and I look at a real person, I'm going to that real person.
Yeah. I mean, this is the most I've dressed up in 6 months.
You look great.
Thank you. I appreciate yeah. you, too. We have the same color shoes, right, Nicole said? Good. Mm-hmm. He has more holes in his shoes than I do. Perforated or something. Either way. All right. So we got like 10 minutes left.
Yeah.
So I always end this with two questions. So the first one I already kind of asked you. If you're newer to the industry, mm-hmm. maybe take this more of a simple, broader level. If you're new to the industry, what's just one or two things you can say to them? Jumping in. What to do, even at a broad level, mental side, whatever.
Yeah, I think it's all mental. I really do. This business is great, but it can mess with your mind mm-hmm. quite a bit. I mean, I would say, you know, us wily veterans, you know, I guarantee you at one time in the past 2 weeks, we've all probably woken up in the middle of the night and
yeah.
gone that oh crap moment.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot. Or how I got to call this person early in the morning to give them bad news or great news. I don't know. I would just say be mental, take it day by day. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Don't let things pile up. And that would be another thing I tell them. Get all of your bad news out in the morning. That's one thing I
learned. Eat the frog, right, they say, whatever.
I've never heard that.
You never heard that?
Eat the frog?
Have you heard that, Nicole?
Have you ever heard that?
No.
Yeah, there's a book on it. It's like, get the first thing out of the way in the morning if you have bad news. It's called Eating the Frog. Am I saying that right?
I don't know. We've never heard of it.
Let me Google this.
Google that Google while that, we're talking.
Please. I guess eat the frog in the morning.
Okay.
Get that out of the way and then go and enjoy your day. Because remember, what we do, especially in these times right now, we undervalue ourselves.
Mm.
We do. Because the fact that we're able to either get someone into their dream home or that we save someone $200 a month, that mm-hmm. $200 a month may be life-changing for them.
Deferring a payment, maybe some I mean, you're putting cash in the pocket
yeah.
for people.
Yep. You know what I mean? Or they were in a bad situation, and now we undervalue what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one thing that you have to understand is that, you know, if you're a new loan officer, assistant loan officer coming in, just let them know that, hey, you know, one, treat people like real human beings, you know, and be real with them. I always tell people to get the bad news out first thing in the morning so you can move on with your day, because mm-hmm. if not, it's just going to sit on your shoulders, and then guess what's going to happen?
We've all done it.
More bad news is going to come, more bad news, and then it just gets exhausting and heavy.
And you only know this from experience.
Yeah.
You've had days like, I don't want to make that call. And then
just make it.
It ruins your whole day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, and then other than that, just on the mental side of things.
Eat the frog? I need to know if I'm right here.
If eat the frog is real?
It's real.
It's real. Winner.
It's Mark Twain.
Okay, there you go.
Mark Twain famously said that the first thing you do in the morning is eat a live frog. The worst thing is behind you.
Yeah, so that's the worst thing to do is eating a frog, and then everything's good after that.
I will be using that from here on out.
Yes, I want to be quoted on that.
Absolutely.
Forget about Mark Twain.
Mark Twain.
That's a J.P. Hussey quote.
And then J.P. Hussey.
I can't believe both of you.
No,
this
never.
This is unbelievable.
But, right. No, on the mental side of things, yeah, yeah. You know, just take things one step at a time. Don't let things pile up on you, because then that's when it gets exhausting, and that's when the job's not fun.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. And it's really that simple. It's mm-hmm. getting it out of the way, because we've all had that relief. You finally make it, and it's never as bad as you think it is.
You're right.
Right?
Absolutely.
It's never as bad, because most people are reasonable people. Sure, we've all been yelled at here or there, but maybe because you let it go too long. If you just communicate. Yeah, all right, so I'll give you a quick story. We have a client that cash out refi, paying off a car. I mean, we changed his life, but it took 4 months to close.
Wow.
This year, because it started in, he just closed this Friday of last week. He started in April. This was when everything was going down. We had to twist and turn, you know, whatever it is. But, you know, we communicated with him every single Friday we make calls, but even throughout the week, hey, you're good, whether it's text, whatever it is. And I asked him just last week, I'm like, hey, man, I apologize. This took so long. He was cool during the whole process. He's like, no, it was fine. I really, really appreciate it. Just because you let me know what was happening all the time, I've been totally fine with it. And I just got a new lead from him actually 2 days ago. So it took 4 months, but we just communicated with him and told him what was going on. He was totally cool with it.
So now take it back.
Yeah.
You hear 4 months in our industry,
mm-hmm.
and we go, oh, my God, like, oh, that's terrible.
Yeah.
But you just changed that guy's life, and he's
yeah.
happy for it.
Right.
So put things into perspective at all times. Mm-hmm. Now, we know when we mess up, and that weighs on us, but at the same time, don't undervalue what we do.
That's a really good point, because a lot of people are stressed out, and they're not believing in themselves, right? And that's huge in this industry. You have to believe, and they're undervalued. You're right. There's so much value in what we're doing. We're literally changing people's lives. And that's what's great about this industry. On this side as well, when you have the freedom and to be able to change people's lives, I mean, what more could you really ask for? And make a good living?
Yeah.
Yeah.
9 out of 10 people, this is going to be the biggest financial decision they make in their entire lives, and we're here to help them.
Mm-hmm.
Does anyone think about that?
No.
We just think about a loan, pushing. A lot of us do, you know?
Good point.
Quit thinking that way. We're life changers. We can be. We can be life changers. As dumb as that sounds,
mm-hmm.
we can be.
That's awesome. All right, last question.
Hit me.
Future of the industry, next 3 to 5 years. What do you see changing? What do you see is always going to be a constant? I already know your answer to one of these, but I want to hear you say it again. Where do you see it changing? Whether it's technology, I mean, your constant is going to be.
It's all going to change. It's all going to change. Sorry, it is. I mean, I look at what I did in 2001 when I wrote my first loan compared to what I do now. It's night and day. mm-hmm. it's going to change again, you know, with social media and everything that's going on and government and elections mm-hmm. and it's all going to change. Something else is going to happen, you know.
Deal with it.
Who 3-5 years ago said there was going to be this virus COVID coming around that's going to flip the game upside down?
Mm-hmm.
Who thought about that?
Nobody.
No, so there's going to be these outside events that we can't control. So once again, one of my weekly sales meetings is be adaptive, and that's why we're good at what we do.
Mm.
I always feel like the big banks did what they did and then just funneled things down and we kind of got the scraps. But guess what? We're always good with the scraps and we figure it out mm-hmm. at all times. The one thing that I see that I promise you in the future is going to happen is that the market share that brokers have is going to grow substantially.
Okay. Why is that, do you think?
Because of social media.
Okay.
Before, back in the day, I mean, we've all had this client. Oh, I think I'm just going to go with my bank because I bank with them.
Yeah, right.
I crack up at that one all the time, but it's okay. It's because that's what they knew. But now with social media and everything is out there. I mean, everything. You can't sneeze without someone knowing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And knowing that, oh, the difference between a broker and a banker, wow, you get these benefits? Well, yeah, I'm going to shop my mortgage. I'm going to go to my local guy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we're going to grow.
Plus the freedom. And where the world's going is everyone's their own little business anyway.
Mm-hmm.
This is, in my opinion, the best spot to do that.
I agree.
On this side, if you want to be your own person, that's where things are going, in my opinion.
Yeah.
There's not going to be maybe these big companies. Everyone's going to kind of break up a bit. So this is the better side to do that if you're going to be in the mortgage industry.
I agree.
And then the one constant, I mean, and you'll agree with me here, the human touch, the human interaction is just... Everyone says technology, robots are coming. I don't think that ever goes away.
No.
We always, and that's 100% people believe that. Even though we keep hearing that, it's not going to go away.
Can't.
I think we're here for good.
People want to talk to someone.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't, it's such a small transaction that they don't care. Like if I'm going to go buy my kid a new baseball bat, yeah, I don't need to talk to anyone. Mm-hmm. I can go online and buy that.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars
mm-hmm.
that I'm going to be responsible, yeah, I want to talk to someone. I want to make sure I'm doing the right thing, you know?
Yeah.
What are the benefits of going 30 to a 15 to a 20 to a cash out now?
True advisor. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we do. And we're educated to do it.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, there you have it.
People will start to understand that more. And so that's the next big thing I think with AIM is that, you know, the one thing we did with AIM is we brought everyone together. And I couldn't be more proud of that. I love it. I always tell the story, like, if it was 5 years ago and you were a broker down the street, I hated you. I have no idea why.
Yeah.
But I hated you. But now it's like we flipped that upside down, which is great. So now I think the next big thing that we have to get across is to the consumer. We
figured it out.
Yeah, as a community, we figured this out. So step one. Step two is, okay, getting to these consumers now and letting them know the difference between broker and banker.
One thing we got is the consumer seems to call everyone a mortgage broker anyway.
Mm-hmm.
We see that all the time.
Yeah.
Like, Wells Fargo called me my mortgage broker, you know, whatever
yeah,
it is,
yeah.
you know. So that's one thing we have to do is let the consumer know. But I do agree that the industry, broker is not a dirty word anymore.
No.
Nope. And that has a lot to do with AIM,
oh,
in my opinion.
Well, thank you.
And you specifically, Mark.
This is fun what we're doing. Like, this is fun. This is a lot of fun what this association has, where it started from, where it's grown, what it's created, what... The best thing about this association for me, or two things. One, on my standpoint, is like the community that we created. Mm-hmm. But number two is just meeting people. Like, I never would have met you.
Yeah.
Never would have met you.
Yeah.
If this association didn't happen. Or people in California, Texas.
It is really
local
cool.
In my area. That's the cool thing about it.
Yeah, I have a lot of good friends now that I may have not even ever met. Well, maybe at one of the conferences that are all over the country.
Right.
You know, I would have never met. And we only met once or twice, but they're like good friends. It's weird, but it's cool.
It is.
When did it officially start, AIM?
February, I don't even know. Should I know this? 2018.
All right, so it's only been
two and a half years.
Okay.
Crazy.
Yeah. Where did the idea come from? Can we talk about that quick?
Yeah, I think we can.
I just like to know, because I don't even know. I'm curious.
I mean, basically what it was is Anthony started Brawl.
Right, Brawl. Okay. I got in like right after Brawl.
You did.
Right.
And then I reached out to him via social media because it was finally something that I believed in, but just didn't know how to get it out there.
Mm-hmm.
And then we chat a little bit, went back and forth, and it was more or less along the lines of, we need an association for this stuff. We need to bring these people together. And Anthony basically told me, Mark, if you kind of go put in the papers, we'll go.
Okay.
I went the next day. And then he was like, oh, you know,
okay,
here we go. Like, this is real. Now he's taking it to a level, you know, that's crazy.
Yeah.
But I've just enjoyed all of this. And then I remember sitting at our first event, and Nicole was there. She just got hired. We were at our first event.
So you're an OG. You're here from the beginning. Okay.
Actually, I'm going to take that step back. We had our first event in Irvine, California,
mm-hmm.
and we had about 150, 200 people signed up. And I was on vacation with my family, spring break. Anthony calls me in a frantic scare. He's like, Mark, we just had 400 new people sign up. We're like, what? Oh, my God. So then when we're in the room at Irvine, I sat there saying, there's a need. There is a need for mm-hmm. this. And then I remember we sat there and said, man, if we can get a few thousand members, you know, by July, we're doing good. I mean, and we're over 45,000 now or something like that.
Is that what it is? 45,000? Jeez.
Yeah.
Independent mortgage brokers across the country.
That's really cool. Now I'm getting nervous. No, I'm kidding. No, it was great. Are we good?
I'm good.
Was that simple enough for you?
Hey, it was probably too simple for you.
No, that was good. No, that was great. Well, there you have it. President Mark Summers. Thanks, dude.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Broker to Broker podcast. Make sure to subscribe to our channel so you don't miss a single episode. Head over to aimgroup.com/broker to broker and subscribe on any platform where you listen to podcasts.